The following is a recording of the Sunday evening 6 p.m. service of Rangeville Community Church.
Good evening, everyone. Top-down lighting, perfect for a ball guy, so apologise in advance for any blindness. All right. So when's the last time that you were really looking forward to something? Not just that little bit excited, but, you know, really on edge, almost scared how excited you are. Maybe it was the night before Christmas, or a birthday, an overseas holiday. Perhaps you're getting ready for a first date, or counting down the minutes until you say, "I do." It's that feeling of looking forward to something, that mixture of excitement but also nervousness. What if things don't quite go to plan? What if that wrapped present under the tree is a pair of socks instead of that cool toy you wanted? What if you miss your plane? Or your date doesn't like you? Or it rains on your wedding day, as Alanis Morissette would say. For me, the thing I'm really looking forward to right now is the birth of our second child. So in only 4 short weeks, we should be welcoming a bundle of joy, all going to plan, and a bundle of exhaustion, and a bundle of work, and a bundle of blessings. So I'm excited, but I'm also, you know, a little bit nervous. Will it be a boy or a girl? We don't know. We'll find out. Will the birth go well? Will they be lucky and look like my beautiful wife, or not so lucky and end up like me? Ah, come on. And I know it will be wonderful and amazing and overwhelming and completely different to how I imagine. So we call this waiting, these feelings, expectation. But if all Juanita and I did was to wait expectantly for the baby to arrive, we'd be completely unprepared. We know the baby's coming, there's no turning back now. We don't know the exact time or date, but we know it will be soon. And so we need to prepare. We get a new pram, some clothes, we rearrange some rooms, get to lug a new wardrobe into the room. In my case, also realising that perhaps the 2-door sports car won't be around for a whole lot longer. That's a gunmetal Subaru BRZ, 20,000 Ks, 30 years old, driven to church on Sundays. See me afterwards for a good deal. So we need to match our expectation with action. And that's when our expectations turn into anticipation. So anticipation is expectation with action. In other words, expectation is praying for rain, while anticipation is bringing your umbrella. Anticipation is a principle we see from God's people over and over in the Bible. We think of the Jews with the Passover. We think of the Israelites marching around Jericho. So many stories of action being taken in expectation of God doing something miraculous and wonderful. And many times the Lord has called believers to prepare to take some action in expectation of those future events. And tonight we'll have a look at how we have a choice when it comes to anticipating the promises of God. We can either take some action and move away from those promises, or we can take action to prepare in faith. And we'll see how two of the more popular Sunday school stories can teach us about anticipation, what Jesus had to teach about anticipation, and finally how we can use the power of anticipation to grow our faith individually and collectively here at Rangeville, but also in the church of the city. Now, no doubt you've heard about Jonah, the famous marine biologist, completed his thesis on digestive systems of whales. So let's have a look at how his story begins, and I'd invite you to join me in your Bibles at the book of Jonah from verse 1. So Jonah flees from the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. So, just to set the scene a little bit, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, which was the most powerful nation in the world at the time, and Nineveh was actually the most populated city in the world for quite some time. And the Assyrians were pretty fond of going to war with their neighbours and conquering them, taking them away for slaves, and generally causing a lot of havoc. So as you'd imagine, Jonah being one of those neighbours, and God coming and saying, oh, just go to Nineveh and tell them how wicked and evil they are, he wasn't so keen to go and do that. And in fact, he was so unkeen to do that he decided to travel to Tarshish instead, which is about 4,000 kilometres in the opposite direction. It's a bit like if somebody said to you, living in Toowoomba, oh, I just need you to go to Bowen up in North Queensland there. But you said, no, I'm just heading to Perth. So the interesting thing here is that Jonah clearly heard and understood God. There was no misconception about what God was asking him to do. And he took some action. But the action he took was not in line with what God was asking him to do. So he actually anticipated what he thought was going to be the outcome. He didn't decide to just ignore God's word or wait it out or bury his head in the sand and hope it goes away. So this actually shows that in a slightly different way that the actual first important point about anticipation is that it's an action driven by faith. So Jonah actually had faith in the words of God. He knew that God wanted him to go to Nineveh. He knew that God wanted him to go there to preach against wickedness. He had faith that God's word was true. But he had his own prejudices, he had fears, and his own free will resulted in him taking action counter to the word of God. His actions were not in obedience, but he never lost faith that the Lord's words were true. And later in this story, and after being in the whale and swearing off sushi, Jonah does go to Nineveh. He does actually obey the Lord. And the whole city repents. Even the king is in sackcloth and ashes and repents of the evil deeds that they've done. And the Lord forgives them and spares them. And Jonah actually was very upset about that, which is quite interesting. But to Jonah this seemed very wrong and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. He's pretty dramatic, this old Jonah. So there's a bit of a contrast here, because Jonah actually knew if he went that God would forgive these people that he hated, and that he would even save this great enemy of the people in Nineveh. And I think the lesson here is that sometimes the Lord will make us take action that is challenging to our prejudices, our preconceptions or our preferences. And how often is it that we think the Lord is calling us to a particular group of people or a particular place, and we just don't want to go because we don't like those people or that place. And we think that maybe the Lord didn't mean that and that, you know, he's our Lord, he's not their Lord. But there's so many people that do go out of their ways specifically to preach and to teach to the people that we think of as enemies. But through faith, and if we take action aligned to our faith, we know that God can do greater things than we could ever do in our own strength, and that the Lord's will and plans are greater than our own. And through obedience and through taking anticipating his word, we can actually do things far greater than we ever could do ourselves. And we could fulfill the greater goals that the Lord has. So that's Jonah's example, anticipation leading to disobedience. So let's have a look now at the story of Noah, for a different angle on that. So join me in Genesis chapter 6, and we'll start from verse 9. So this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. And God then goes on to tell Noah exactly how big and what dimensions and how to build this ark and to prepare for the coming flood. And verse 22 tells us that Noah did everything he was commanded to do as the Lord told him. Now this flood that was to come was beyond anything that had ever happened on the earth before. And Noah had no past experience to draw on. He had no expertise in building boats. Later on in Genesis, it tells us that he was actually a farmer or a tender of vines. But he still took the Lord's commands by faith and he built the ark in anticipation. And that sometimes happens with us as well. We don't actually know what's in store for us. And sometimes the messages or the visions or the prophecies that we have can be a bit confusing or just not make any sense. There are actually some theologians that theorize that before the flood there was never any rain. So, even stranger if that's the case. But Noah's example is one of diligent action through faith. He built the ark for days, months, years on end, despite everyone around him living their lives and not listening to his warnings, because we are told he also preached every day to the people around him. And this demonstrates another aspect of living in anticipation. Sorry about that, missed the slide. There we go. Anticipation requires determination. So Noah could have stopped building at any time, and he could have gone back to living the kind of life that everyone else had. But that flood still would have come, and he would have been swept away with everyone else. Responding to the word of God and preparing for it requires diligence and dedication. You need to keep pressing on despite setbacks or a feeling that nothing is happening. And so often we feel like we're sort of wailing against the storm and nothing is happening. And I'm sure there's times where Noah thought that as well. And no doubt many would have mocked him for what he was doing, being seen as a bit of a folly or a pointless exercise. There's old Noah building that big boat again. Pretty dry land for a boat, but, you know, I guess he's a bit crazy. It would have seemed a bit like the height of madness. And there would have been many who told him he should give up. And we've actually got a fairly similar story in some ways here at Rangeville. We were waiting for funding for a new building for a church. And we didn't have the land. We didn't have the money. We didn't have anything, but we went ahead and we drew up plans and we engaged contractors and we said, we're going to get you to build us a building. We don't have any money, we don't have any land, but can assure you, you'll be here building this building for us. So through that determination, anticipation and faith in the promises of God, action was taken and we were prepared to be ready. I'm sure there's many that thought it was a bit premature, a bit pointless, bit crazy, and yet here we are. So anticipation often attracts opposition. The enemy hates believers who are anticipating the promises of God. A group of believers who are sitting back and waiting for the Lord's work to be done are easy pickings for his lies, because it creates complacency and laziness, unbelief. But disciples who are taking action, who are making disciples and leading others to Christ and are not afraid to stand up to the status quo, are a powerful weapon for the Lord. No wonder a determined believer acting out of anticipation faces attack and ridicule. So when you're doing what is right but you seem to be facing setbacks on all sides, I think that's time to rejoice. That's when you should take heart. because you're winning victories for Jesus. If you're not being attacked, then you're probably not very effective. But we need to keep ready, for we never know the time or the manner in which the promises of God will become our reality. One of the parables that Jesus told was about the 10 virgins. All 10 of them went out every night waiting for the bridegroom to arrive. And at that point in time, oftentimes you'd have an arranged marriage, and you never actually knew who you were going to marry, but one day they would arrive with their entourage, take you away to your new land and your new life. So these 10 ladies were waiting patiently for the bridegroom to arrive. But 5 of them were actually prepared. They were anticipating the arrival of the groom because they had oil to light their lamps. But the other 5 didn't take any oil with them, because the bridegroom, the story tells us, took a long time to arrive. And I think that you have to start to wonder whether those 5 just didn't believe it was actually going to happen. They sort of did it out of, that's just what you did, but they didn't actually think the bridegroom would come. They were waiting and they were expecting, but they had not taken the right action. They hadn't made the right preparations. And when the bridegroom came, they weren't ready, and he left without them. And that's really that key and final key principle to acting in anticipation, and that is that anticipation takes preparation. We can't actually be acting in anticipation if we don't do anything, if we just sit around and wait. But it means also that we can practice the skills, the capabilities, and the mindsets we need for when the great thing comes while we wait for it. So right now, as many of you know, we're in the middle of State of Origin season. The Mighty Maroons won Game 1, clearly on their way to a clean sweep series win. Look, I'm going to call it now, another 8 in a row, 2028. It's going to happen. So when the last time they won 8 in a row, a lot of the credit went to these 4. That's Cooper Cronk, Jonathan Thurston, Cameron Smith and Billy Slater. And a lot of the time the commentators, you know, Gus or Rabs or whoever, in between the rabbiting on that they do, will talk about how well they were reading the game, and it's, you know, almost as if they could read each other's minds, that they were seeing the ball the size of a beach ball and all this sort of stuff. But that's because they were actually anticipating the play, and if you watch those games, they actually start to move before anything happens. They anticipate what the opposition's going to do. They anticipate the outcome. And the only reason they can do that is through intense preparation. Through years of practice, through playing football together and separately, and training together, meant they had the skill, they had the experience, but most of all that they had the confidence they could handle whatever New South Wales could throw at them. They didn't actually know what would happen in any particular game. They didn't read the future. But they knew that whatever came, they had the skills and they had the capability to win the game in the end, because they'd done all they could to prepare. And in the same way, we can prepare as individuals and as Rangeville and as a church in this city for what God has in store for us. For example, we here at Rangeville recently appointed a pastor to the city. Don't think he knows exactly what he's going to do yet, but we have faith that it's the right thing to do, and through making that preparation and through the skills and ability that he brings, that we'll be ready when God reveals what he has in store for us. Evan shared last Sunday morning about a vision that many had received about Rangeville and Toowoomba about to embark into something that's never been seen before. And the vision is often around a boat or a sailing ship sailing out into uncharted waters. And we think that the Lord is going to do amazing things. But to do that, you need to prepare. And this morning, Andrew preached on Jesus healing a lame man. And the message there was to get up, to take action, to get ready. And that's what we need to do as well, to get ready for these things. We need to press on into the Lord and his word to worship in spirit and in truth, to practice the skills we will need to make our voyage a success. And sailors prepare their boats and themselves for whatever lies ahead. They don't just rock up one day, jump in the tinny and go, off I go, out into the Pacific Ocean, we'll see what happens. They prepare, they pack the goods, they have everything that they need for whatever may come at them. And if we think back to the people that first came to Australia, people like James Cook, nobody actually knew what was beyond the horizon. But they brought everything they thought they'd need, and for things they didn't know they would need, they made do. They used their skills, their experience, and in some cases they just had to make it up as they went along. But the way they made it up was through using that faith that they could do it, and we need to do the same. We need to have faith in Christ and faith that Jesus will give us all that we need for what's ahead. And through being disciples of Christ, we can make disciples. We need to try new things in teaching and in worship. I really think that we're entering into a season of church maybe looking a bit different to how it has before. Sounding a bit different. Different types of people up the front, out the back. That what we think of as church is maybe not exactly what we need to do to go into this next season, or the kinds of people that we reach out to, the kinds of events we do in the community. None of us know what that looks like, but I think it's a really exciting time, and there seems to be, you know, when Andrew asked me to preach a couple of weeks ago, the word anticipation just popped into my head immediately, and I thought, okay, Lord, let's see where we go with this. And then Evan came with Uncharted Waters, and we talked about Get Up. I think there's a real drive to action here, to get out of our comfort zones, to do something different. And these are really exciting times, and we need prayer and reading of the word. We need to be match fit like these guys are. We need to be like Noah, to relentlessly commit ourselves to the task at hand. We can't sort of keep it up for a week and go, oh man, boat building, pretty tough. Tinny will do, it'll be right. We need to actually press on and follow the guidelines or the rules that the Lord has set for us. And I think there's some really exciting times ahead of us, but we won't get there by sitting back in expectation and waiting to see what will happen. It's a bit like waiting for a baby. We just waiting for it to happen won't make anyone happy, least of all the baby. We need to take action together to encourage each other and to build a community of believers who are striving in faith to see the Lord's kingdom revealed and released here in Toowoomba. So as I invite the musos up to prepare for our final song, I just ask you to join me in prayer as we look forward with anticipation. And there'll be a new song that Evan sings for us shortly. It's all about sailing into the unknown, so please join with me as we pray together about just being ready for that voyage. Lord God, we thank you for the promises you have for us individually and collectively. We thank you for the example of Noah, of the virgins who are prepared, Lord. We want to be like them. We want to be ready to go, Lord. We pray that we'll be match fit, that we will practice the skills and abilities that we need, and that you will start to reveal new skills and abilities to us, that we can work diligently towards fulfilling your word, so that we can be prepared when the time comes to do great things here in our city, Lord. And we really do just get the sense that you are about to do something amazing here. And Lord, we pray that you will just keep telling us to get up, to take our mats and to walk, Lord, to walk in faith, to fight against the opposition that we may face, but to keep pressing into you, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we pray that throughout the days and weeks ahead that you will encourage and strengthen us, give us the knowledge, the understanding and the courage as we press on into the exciting unknown together. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 1144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.